You're with Stateside. I'm April Baer. This week, we've been revisiting some conversations that were recognized with a Michigan Association of Broadcasters Award for Stateside in the year 2020. Today, we're going to listen to something many of us miss: the sounds of the record store. Before the pandemic became a long-haul proposition, we were talking with record store owners from around the state to find out what cuts they were listening to. Today, we're going to listen to my conversation with Brad Hales, one of the owners of People's Records in Detroit. People's has been closed since last summer due to the pandemic, and Brad has moved his operation online for the time being. But when it is open, Brad's shop is a crate digger's paradise and a bit of a tourist destination. People's features a lot of music from Detroit originals to rarities of all kinds. Here's our conversation. Could you tell me what kinds of music you find yourself being drawn to these days?
Well, I focus on Michigan music myself, but that could be a lot of different things. And I don't solely listen to music from the state, but everything I selected today is from here. I think if you take a deeper look at it, you can become really obsessed with just studying what happened in this state because it's very rich.
It's got to be said, there aren't that many states in the lower 48 where you can listen local almost exclusively, but Michigan definitely seems like one of them.
A lot has happened here in the, musically, and just it resonates with me because we had different influences in Detroit with jazz music and gospel music that I think give a lot of the music a certain beauty and richness that hopefully you'll hear in some of the tracks today.
I've got to believe having the store in the city, you just have access to people's stories in a way that a lot of other places do not.
We do. It's kind of mind-blowing, the people that might pop through the door sometimes that we get to interact with and hear, you know, what they went through or what they're doing now. You know, it's really interesting. Anybody from Mike Banks and Derek May, you never know. And you might see rock or punk legends, you know, as well around. So it's exciting in that sense that a lot of these people are still out there, you know, walking among us.
What was the first track you brought for us today?
I wanted to talk about Johnny Mae Matthews. I think she's a really interesting figure in Michigan music because not only was she a pioneer as a Black female songwriter, artist, and producer, but she was also the first African-American female record label owner. She owned several record companies, just like Berry Gordy did, and she even started a year before him. And so I think her story is especially important. Most of us know her from the Temptations movie you'd see on TV late at night, where there's this kind of wicked woman who has the Temptations before Motown did and cheats them and buys a Cadillac and then da-da-da.
Sort of playing the Morris Day role in the film.
Yeah, and I believe her family might have even received a settlement for the way that she was portrayed there because it wasn't accurate. She actually was an inspiration and kind of helped these people get to where they eventually went, you know. But she's a fantastic artist, and this is one of my favorite pieces of music of all time. It's I Have No Choice.
Okay, let's listen.
To leave and make me sit and cry, there's one thing I've got to know is there's a reason why. Did I do something wrong? Did I ever hurt you so? That if you still going to leave, won't you let me know? And I will try my best to understand. You see, it's kind of hard when a woman
Brad, sometimes Johnny Mae Matthews is credited as the person who taught Berry Gordy everything that he knew.
Wow.
About the recording industry. What do you hear in this track that is fundamental to sounds that both she and Berry Gordy were putting out there at the time?
Well, I mean, the elegance of it. This is a new kind of R&B, you know, developing in the 60s that's really lush and beautiful, you know. So, I mean, that's one thing that Motown also had. It was like transcendent and maybe the roles that were expected, you know, of black people, like, you know, very sophisticated and, you know, and classy, you know, like elegant R&B. So I think that's one thing that they both shared on that track. And generally her stuff is a lot earthier and more blues influenced than Motown came to be.
It looks like the second track you brought for us is a really great Stax Records artist, Daryl Banks.
Well, Daryl Banks actually came to Detroit from Buffalo and wound up kind of getting absorbed by the Stax empire, but was an independent artist here, and he only lived to age 28. The Metro Times featured a piece on Banks about maybe 10 years ago now with his incredible life story. He was shot in an altercation over a romance or a failed romance by an off-duty Detroit police officer.
Yeah, it looks like he seriously got involved with the wrong police officer's girlfriend.
Right. Either way, his life was cut tragically short due to gun violence and this, you know, whatever happened there. And we're left with, you know, sadly few recordings because many soul fans recognize his single, Open the Door to Your Heart and Our Love is in the Pocket, as being one of the greatest double-sided soul records that ever came out of Detroit, rare or common. It's just such a great song that definitely gave Motown a run for its money, probably using some of their own musicians. The track that I brought today, though, is a special find from this past winter from a man whose father passed away. He was a TV repairman, and he had a habit of buying 45s from people when he went to their homes to repair their televisions. And so when the father passed away, the son brought in the records, and he had this incredible metal acetate. It's a studio reference recording, a one-of-a-kind thing that they might send an artist or producer home from. It's a piece of metal with lacquer that they cut a one-of-a-kind recording home for reference, so you can take it home and listen to it after the studio and see if you like the mix and how it sounds and everything. Or maybe they would give it to a DJ for, you know, to hype it, you know, before the record is released. So anyway, this flaking metal acetate comes in with a new song that no one's ever heard before from Daryl Banks from a year before he passed away.
When the son of the guy who found this record brought in this box of stuff to the shop, what was your reaction?
Well, I knew who Banks was, and I knew that I didn't recognize the song, but it required, you know, a day of working on it to get it to the point that you'll hear in the recording, which this thing was flaking apart. And after I made the recording, the lacquer did flake off. So if this recording wasn't captured in this MP3, this song would have been lost, you know, for all time unless another one surfaces.
That's amazing. Let's take a listen. Daryl Banks, It's Not Fair to Me.
My life brought
Brad Hales, do you know what that instrumentation is there during the break?
We've been trying to guess. People have suggested that it's a bassoon or a bass clarinet, maybe yeah. with some kind of effect on it.
I was thinking, is that an oboe? it's not often really, you hear woodwinds in soul songs.
But it's got some kind of studio treatment on it, you know, maybe an effect or something, like possibly a Leslie speaker or a tremolo or some kind of thing giving it a strange out-of-phase effect. But it's interesting because on Daryl Banks' studio recordings that were compiled on the Stax LP, they're not psychedelic in any way. So this is kind of like, by this point, you know, it's like the Beatles are happening and soul music is getting affected by the, you know, psychedelic trends of the day. That's something that didn't, you know, happen on the records that came out, you know, during his lifetime.
Given the volume of music that you have in the shop and the number of tracks that are rapidly, we're kind of losing to the ages. Do you ever just wish you could switch careers and become more of a full-time archivist?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot more that could be done there. But at the same time, Detroit, it's that Daryl Banks track is special because it's one of the only things that you could add. I mean, it's been looked at to death under a microscope by decades from people around the world who are all fascinated. So to find a new recording from the 60s is kind of difficult to do because it's been anthologized to death. But I like just swimming in it and, you know, being active in the community and, you know, circulating this stuff to other people who will, I mean, when you see these kind of records played live for a room full of people that are getting it, it can really, you know, make you feel better. It can improve the quality of life for a whole region, you know. So it's important work to kind of keep that stuff in circulation too, either by playing it out for crowds to dance for it or by getting the records into people's hands.
It looks like the last track that you brought for us is from a DJ that people might know from around Detroit, Jay Daniel. This is called Sundance from a record that he put out on his own Watusi Records label. An album called Tala. You want to set this one up for us?
Yeah. Jay Daniel he's, you know, younger on the end of some of these guys who've had, you know, decades long careers. This record just kind of, I've always thought that he was good, but this one I thought, you know, right away, like, oh, I'll be listening to this for the rest of my life. I mean, what struck me about it was I have no idea how in this day and age someone could make music so calm. So I think he's touched on something really special there because this is only one track out of a four-sided LP, and it kind of maintains the same relaxing quality that definitely takes you someplace else that you want to be.
Was the vibe on this record very far out of Jay's wheelhouse?
Well, the nice thing about it is it doesn't feel necessarily aimed for the dance floor as much as some singles. It's a double album that you want to listen to the whole thing and keep flipping it, not like a single where a DJ would use it as a tool, you know, to, you know, get a certain response from the dance floor. But it's more like something you put on while you, you know, cook dinner and water your plants or something.
The polyrhythm in there is really something.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of great layering going on and a lot of stuff that your mind can really engage and escape in.
Do you know if Jay gets a band together for his studio sessions or if he's more of a bedroom producer?
I think this is all him.
Wow. Well, it's just gorgeous. Thanks for bringing it in.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people are feeling 2020 is a year of many stressors. I don't know that you intended to bring us some songs to help us get centered and find some peace, but it sure seemed like it worked out that way.
Excellent. No, that's something I'm constantly looking for.
What do you tell people when they walk into the store and they're looking for something to just take them out of themselves?
I mean, honestly, I would rather teach someone to fish than fish for them. So my role there is to try to get the things out so you can look at them. And I tell people, here are the listening stations with the headphones. Now get your hands dirty.
Brad Hales from People's Records. I guess I just want to say thank you for your service. We appreciate all the years in the shop and for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.